Our text is taken from Luke chapter 19, reading verses 1 through 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus for who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before, and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. With this study on Zacchaeus, we take up a series that had occupied us for quite some time, how Jesus dealt with sinners. It has been an edifying study because we see our Lord as a winner of souls. Jesus dealing not only publicly, but often privately, and seeing to the conversion of some and to the rejection and failure of others. In this series, we have considered the rich young ruler, the self-righteous sinner, Nicodemus, the unregenerate religious sinner, the Samaritan woman, the ignorant traditional sinner, the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda, the secret sinner, the demoniac of Gadara, the violent sinner, the woman taken in adultery, the exploited sinner. Now we approach our study of Zacchaeus, the notorious sinner. What we will do in this preliminary study is to give an analysis of this passage, and then, God willing, in subsequent studies, we will take this analysis and expand it as we make application as needful. Verse 1, we have the direction of our Lord. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. It would help if you have your Greek New Testament with you and have it open to the text. We find that this contains an aorist participle and an imperfect verb. The aorist participle, and Jesus entered, the imperfect verb, and was passing through Jericho. Oftentimes, the imperfect tense is used, a continual action in time past, to draw a very graphic picture of a process of time. Look very carefully then at our text. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Our Lord and His disciples were on their way to Jerusalem. They were at Jericho 1,000 feet below sea level. By the time they would reach Jerusalem, they would be 2,400 feet above sea level. Our Lord was going to Jerusalem and to Bethany to raise Lazarus from the dead. The disciples were afraid. They thought that our Lord would certainly be taken by force and killed. They voiced this in John chapter 11, a parallel passage. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, or was passing through. This is a picture by application that we find voiced by another gospel writer. As Jesus was passing through Jericho, blind Bartimaeus cried out, "Who is this?" "It is Jesus of Nazareth." "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And by addressing our Lord as the son of David, the Messiah, we see that Bartimaeus was a believer. And what the people told him when he asked about the commotion, they said, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." And so we can say by application a very graphic description of our own life and our own experience that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. The day of grace is a fleeting thing. We will not always, years from now, be as we are today. There'll be another man in this pulpit. I will be dead and gone. Other people will be in these pews. The day of grace is never static. It is passing by. Jesus, as it were, is passing by. And we, as Zacchaeus, must do all that we can to get to Christ. Verse 1, then, the direction of our Lord. Verses 2 and 3, the description of Zacchaeus. And behold. The word "behold" is an exclamation in the original. It means that our attention now should be focused on this man, Zacchaeus. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. Verses 2 and 3, then, the description of Zacchaeus. First, his name. Zacchaeus is from the Hebrew term Zakar. Zakar means innocent, pure, or righteous. And we will comment upon this, God willing, in our subsequent studies. It is enough to know at this point that he was a man with a good name and a bad reputation. Isn't that a strange thing? No one assumes his own name. We're named by our parents or grandparents, or perhaps an aunt or an uncle. We are named after someone in the family, one of our predecessors. We are named from some great individual. We will find that this family name goes back to the restoration of Israel, and it was a very honored name. He was probably named after one of his ancestors. He had a good name, but a bad reputation. Oftentimes, and I think especially as believers, we give to our children names that have some spiritual significance, and how we pray that they would live up to their names. Zacchaeus would, later in life, by the grace of God. Think of the name that has been given you. Think of your own life. Do you live up to the name that has been given you? It's an interesting thing to study one's name. It's an interesting thing to study one's ancestors. I am named after my great-grandfather, William D.S. Downing was a Methodist Episcopal circuit preacher. The only place wherein my ancestor and I disagree is he fought for the Union. He was out of Kentucky and out of Indiana and fought for the Union in what we call the War of Northern Aggression. Our family has learned better since that time. But if you were to take his picture, and we have someplace, a vignette, that suffered from a fire. It was once a portrait. Now it's just a vignette. From the hair to the eyes to the cheekbone to the beard, he and I are a carbon copy of one another. He told his children, "Ye must be born again." and the next generation grew up unregenerate to a person and in rebellion against God, very moral and very self-righteous and unconverted. Until the year 1948, my great-grandfather died in 1919. Until the year 1948, there was not a saved member, a converted member of our family, until God converted the black sheep of the family, my father. I was named after my great-grandfather. William derives from the German Wilhelm. Wilhelm means determined warrior. And I think by God's grace, I am living up to that name. Zacchaeus had a good name and a bad reputation. That is something for us all to consider, especially in a spiritual sense. We see first his name, and then we see his occupation or his work. He was the chief of the publicans. This is a title, one word in the Greek, that only occurs here in the New Testament. He was evidently hired by the Roman authorities as the supervisor of all of the tax collectors in the area of Jericho. Jericho was one of the three chief tax cities of Palestine, Judea, and Galilee at that time. It was on the major trade routes, and we will deal with this later. It was the converging point of all the trade routes from the north, from the east, and everything from the south came through Jericho. And they were very rich. They made much money because of the trade that came here into Judea and unto Jerusalem. Zacchaeus was nobody's fool. He was a clever man. He was a self-absorbed individual. He was an anomaly for the Jew. He was a traitor. He was what one is called a scallywag, a traitor who worked for the enemy and taxed his own people and oftentimes cheated them to his own embellishment. He had a position of tremendous power and influence. We note in the third place his wealth. He was extremely rich. This was the reward of his labor. He was also perhaps one of the most hated men in Jericho. He taxed his own people. He cheated his own. He was looked upon as one who was unwelcome in the synagogue. And it was an abomination to enter a publican's house. We note in the fourth place his curiosity. He desired to see Jesus. Verse 3, he sought to see Jesus who he was. The word sought here, again, is in the imperfect tense. He was continuing to seek to see our Lord. There was a continual effort on the part of Zacchaeus to see our Lord, to get a glimpse of this man, to see who he was. He had heard of him, but he wanted to see who he was. Oftentimes, people like to see those who are famous, to see how tall they are, or how short they are, or how they dress, or how they look. We size them up, as it were. Zacchaeus wanted to size up our Lord. If he had heard anything, he heard that this man was a friend of publicans and sinners and harlots. What a strange individual. He was going to Jerusalem for the feast. He only had a few moments, perhaps, to see him, and he could not because of the multitude, for he was little of stature. And we see finally his stature. And he could not because of the press. The word could not is the word dunatai in the Greek, which means ability. And it occurs here in its verbal form, again, in the imperfect tense. I see this little man standing on the outside of the crowd, probably not 5 feet tall, probably closer to 4 feet tall. People were much shorter in those days. And you see this little man in his saddles and in his robe, and he's just jumping up, jumping up, jumping up, and he can't see over the shoulders and heads of the multitude. There's a great multitude of people there. The pilgrims were moving through Jericho, and they were moving on toward Jerusalem. It was late in the day, evidently, and Zacchaeus becomes frustrated, and so he runs ahead of the multitude and climbs up in what the Bible calls, in our English version, a sycamore tree. We know much about Zacchaeus, his name, his work, his wealth, his curiosity, and his stature. If we were described in the Word of God, I wonder what the Bible would have to say about us, about our spiritual condition. Barnabas was a good man who loved the Lord. Would that be said about us? So-and-so was a faithful laborer. Paul described some of his good friends who were at the church in Rome. A faithful laborer, a true brother in Christ, a true sister in the work. What could be said about us if our name occurred in the Word of God? Now verse 4, the determination of Zacchaeus. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. I draw your attention back to verse 1. Jesus entered and did what? He passed through Jericho. He was now, had gone through Jericho and was outside the city, and the road to Jerusalem was lined with mulberry trees. A fig mulberry tree, translated here as a sycamore tree, was filled with fruit, a low spreading tree, and the avenues of Jericho were lined with such trees. He runs far ahead. He climbs up into the sycamore tree just to get a glimpse and to size up our Lord. And he ran before. The word ran again is in the imperfect tense. And running to get ahead of the crowd, he climbed up into this fig mulberry tree in order to get a glimpse of our Lord, for he was to pass by that way. That means our Lord had already gone through Jericho and was outside the city on the other side. This is a tremendous point. The literal reading of the text in verse 1, when we look at radical biblical criticism, which we will, God willing, in our next study. Extremely important that we deal with the very text of Scripture. This is now a graphic description of this little man running ahead on the main pilgrimage route and climbing a tree to see our Lord. This would be a fleeting opportunity to size up this Jesus of Nazareth. Do you think he was alone in that tree? His face was probably showing out from the leaves with that of a group of boys. This was before Passover time. The leaves would just be budding out. Boys were climbing trees all along the route, and here was Zacchaeus, setting aside his dignity, setting aside his position, looking perhaps rather foolish, but so determined to see our Lord, he had lost his self-consciousness. He did what he could to get to Christ, and that has tremendous gospel application. Have we done what we can to get to Christ? Are we doing what we can to get to Him? Obstacles within. He was little of stature. Obstacles without. The multitude pressed in on Him, and he could not see our Lord. But so determined was he that he ran far ahead of the crowd, climbed up into a tree which overhung the route so he could see the Lord Jesus. Are we as determined as Nicodemus to get to Christ? I simply make this by way of observation. We will enlarge upon these, God willing, in our future studies. But it is a graphic picture of God's grace. It is a graphic picture of salvation. It is a graphic picture of a man whose determination is rather strange, and there was much more involved than he himself thought. How many there are who come to church because they have their eye on a young man or a young woman? They come to church out of curiosity. They come to church because a special speaker is there. In some way, they're brought into proximity with the gospel, and God converts them, and that was not at all their original intent. So it was with Zacchaeus. Now in verse 5, the demand of our Lord. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. If you have your Greek New Testament open, you will see we have an aorist participle and an aorist imperative. There are two imperatives in the original language. The present imperative is an admonition to keep on doing something that's been going on. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. An aorist imperative is, began to do something, do it immediately, with a sense of urgency and with all determination. And coupled with an aorist participle, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. An immediate action is demanded by our Lord. For today, and the word today is in the emphatic position in the text. For today, in your house, it behooves me to abide. And the wording that is used can be paraphrased by divine necessity. By divine necessity. This is the only occasion in our Lord's earthly life in which he invited himself into a person's home. That would be considered, even with these Eastern people given to hospitality, something quite extraordinary and bordering on being indecent. But we must understand it was an abomination to enter into a publican's house. So no one would visit the house of Zacchaeus. And our Lord said, I must abide at your house today. And he received him joyfully. What an unexpected privilege it was to have such an honored guest in his home. This is a picture, by application of divine grace. Our Lord initiates the invitation. He invites himself, and so does God in salvation. Divine grace begins with God and God's work of grace within the soul. It does not begin with man seeking God, but rather with God seeking man. It was evidently late in the day. There was no city on that steep upward climb from 1,000 feet below sea level to 2,400 feet above sea level. There was no intermediate town or city between Jericho and Jerusalem. It was late in the day. Our Lord had passed through Jericho and was on the other side. No one else from Jericho had invited our Lord or provided hospitality. So not only was this a demand for Zacchaeus, but it was a rebuke to the multitude that surrounded our Lord. Many there were who wanted to see him and to touch him and to hear him, but how few there were, even none, who would offer him hospitality that evening. How many there are today who profess to have an interest in Christ, but a personal conviction or sacrifice they will not make. Verse 6, the delight of Zacchaeus. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. We see the words, he made haste and came down, are the exact words of our Lord mirrored in a different form. The exact terminology, there was an immediate obedience, a joyful obedience on the part of Zacchaeus. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. The word received means to welcome. It's a strong word. It is literally to welcome with the hand. There is a full reception of our Lord into the home of Zacchaeus, and also, as Matthew Henry quaintly observes, not only into his home, but into his heart as well. It was a joyous reception. When Zacchaeus reached the ground, he was a converted man. It's an amazing thing. We will deal with this, God willing, in subsequent studies. But I must emphasize that we should always understand the immediacy of conversion. Zacchaeus climbed up into the tree, an unregenerate, unconverted man, motivated by curiosity. Our Lord addresses him by name, commands him in haste to get down from the tree, and when the sandals of Zacchaeus hit the ground, he was a different man. Some walk into a church service, unsaved, sullen, burdened with sin, perhaps at home in their sin, unawakened and unconcerned. By the time they leave, within an hour or so, they leave rejoicing in the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Immediate conversion. The woman at the well. Saul of Tarsus. The Philippian jailer. And others, including Zacchaeus, transformed in a moment of time. This is the grace of God. This is what the multitude that surrounded our Lord on that street leading out of Jericho did not see. Their only reaction was to murmur. Verse 7, the discontent of the multitude. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. They weren't murmuring about Zacchaeus. They were murmuring against our Lord. He invited himself into a man's house who was a sinner. It was an abomination to enter a publican's house. He was a traitor. He was a thief. He was a betrayer of God's people. Looking into the original language, and having seen, aorist participle, all continued to murmur and continued to say that to a sinner, a man entered into to dwell. Emphatically, this man was a sinner of sinners. There could not be a worse home into which our Lord can enter in all of Jericho than the house of Zacchaeus. And they murmured. They murmured that our Lord would do this. Do not be discouraged when people murmur against you. And they do. People murmur against you because of your Christianity. They murmured against our Lord because they did not understand that He had come to seek and to save that which was lost. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. You note from the word order in the original, it's extremely emphatic. The murmuring was pervasive and continual. And the emphasis falls on the word sinner. Many will murmur, but few will offer. What a rebuke to this multitude. They murmured. This was the group from Jericho. The stream of pilgrims may not have known Zacchaeus, but the people of Jericho did. He was one of their most prominent citizens. They knew. But who had offered their home and hospitality to our Lord? Not one. But they would murmur at Zacchaeus. When we seek to do well, even works of philanthropy in the name of Christ, even other believers will murmur at us and judge us if we are liberal with our belongings or our finances. But they themselves are reticent to give. There will always be obstacles, internal and external, in getting to Christ. His position, His profession, His smallness of stature, and then external to Him, the multitude. Not only did they press upon our Lord, not caring about Zacchaeus, that little man on the edge of the multitude, jumping up, trying to see and unable to do so, then climbing a tree, but they will murmur at him. Expect opposition. If you seek to get to Christ, be prepared for opposition from within yourself, your own love of sin. That great struggle, you stand in fear of judgment and yet you're in love with your sin. Tremendous obstacle and turmoil. Sometimes of great conviction, other times of utter frustration. And then others, will they encourage you? Your friends will not. Your friends will mock the gospel. What friend, unsaved friend do you have who will encourage you to Christ? Not one! And yet you disdain the words of your parents, the words of the preacher. He drones on. You've learned long ago just to tune him out. Like the people of Jericho, none offered their home. And when our Lord demanded the hospitality of Zacchaeus, it was the one home where he could do that and be welcomed. Everybody murmured, but nobody offered. So it is. That's a tremendous commentary on human nature, is it not? Verse 8, the declaration of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. We do not have time to fully develop verse 8 in this present study. There is so much here that is critical for our understanding. But I simply deal with, and Zacchaeus stood. In the original language, it occurs first in the sentence as an aorist participle. Zacchaeus, having taken his stand. He was ready for a formal declaration. Having taken his stand, he assumed his stance. He assumed a position because what he was going to say was tremendously important. And his whole personality, physically as well as mentally, was geared up for this. This stathes, this aorist participle, having taken his stand, is used of the Pharisee in prayer. The Pharisee and the publican, and the Pharisee having taken his stand, having assumed the position, having put on his phylacteries and putting his hands up to God, having assumed his stance, began to pray. This word is used of Peter at Pentecost. And Peter stood up with the 11. He took his stand, ready for a public address. This same word is used of the Apostle Paul at Athens. And Paul, having taken his stand, and with Paul it was to put forth the right hand, put the left hand over the chest, in the pose of an orator. So everyone knew that he was going to make a proclamation. So Zacchaeus stood and proclaimed to the Lord, not to the multitude. He's not proving anything to the multitude. He's talking to our Lord. Then Zacchaeus stood. And said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. I simply want to note this. Many things here that are determinative of this entire incident in the tenses of the verbs that are here. Romanus Arminians, Pelagians, take these as historical presents. Lord, I've always given to the poor. Lord, I've always restored to this. It's a habitual thing according to Roman Catholic interpretation and Arminian interpretation because they're promoting salvation by works. These are present tense. Lord, here and now I begin to do this. Here and now I begin to do this. This is a mark of grace. From a stingy publican amassing his wealth to a liberal Christian. That's the descent from the tree to the ground and the hospitality shown to our Lord. It betokens and reveals a true conversion. And if I have taken anything, first class conditional sentence in the Greek, since I have taken this. He assumes it to be true. It's a fact. Yes, he has cheated. He has ripped off people. He openly acknowledges it. And as we will later see in another study, he calls his sin for what it is, and he does not seek to minimize it at all. This is true conversion. An immediate, astounding, true conversion of the most notorious sinner in the city of Jericho. And now the discourse of our Lord in verses 9 and 10. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Our Lord himself declares that up to that moment Zacchaeus had been lost. But he was now found. He had become a true son of Abraham. Everyone there, all of the pilgrims, all of the citizens of Jericho, they all believed they were the sons or the children of Abraham because they were Jews, but only in the flesh. For the first time, Zacchaeus was a true spiritual son of Abraham. And this is what our Lord declares. From the greatest sinner in Jericho to a believer. Look at the history of Jericho. Who's been saved in Jericho? Rahab the harlot? Zacchaeus. Those are the only two that we know of who were ever converted in Jericho. Strange, is it not? Many were the physical sons of Abraham, but few were truly the spiritual sons. And he corrects the misunderstanding of the multitude by declaring what? For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The multitude always misunderstands our Lord. Oh, the small church on the corner, they couldn't have the truth. Why, if they had the truth, they would be spilling out of the doors. Go where the multitudes go. I do not know of a church personally where the multitudes go, where the truth is preached. May God bless this opening of our study on Zacchaeus, the notorious sinner. Father, bless thy truth. Open up this passage before us. Lord, might we feed upon it, feast upon it, and know the riches of your grace herein through Jesus Christ. Amen.